Today's daf is Ayin Aleph. We're going to start right at the top with Amar Rav Kahana. Furoch Lemo, Tavara Batino, Zabram Shuba Menchana, Kermit Banim, or the Pinay Bar Rachofida Chaimach, Esther Batzipor, Daniel Ben Rachai, Wood Yosef Ben Rachale, Bar Rivka Rafal Yisro Falak Ben Brachabatia, Yaelmer Bat Chai, Rina Chai Bat Shoshana, Eliezer Chaim Ben Drezi, Yaakov Ben Rose, Lilo Nishmachana Bat Atar, Reza Bat Sarah. Today we're going to talk about deaf people. We've seen them come up in the text before. There's always a distinction between, there's different types of deaf. There's deaf that can't hear but can speak. Then there's Elaine, which can't speak but can hear. And then there's a Chayresh that's Eino Medaber and Eino Shomea, right? Both can't hear and can't speak, who's obviously in a more chamor state. And the assumption is that a person who's a Chayresh that doesn't have ability to speak or to hear doesn't have daat. Okay, that's the concept here. So, or maybe does or maybe doesn't, right? That's kind of the issue here. So the Gemara starts out with a statement of Rav that we're going to deal with. It's passed down in the name of Rav Kahana. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. By the way, this sugya is really all about, you know, people with certain disabilities and how do we treat them in halakha. In other words, how do we know, do they have daat? Do they not have daat? How do we measure it? Which types of people fall into which categories? Which obviously, you know, you can make broad categories, but we all know that there's no real answers to those questions. It's very individualized. But obviously in a system, we need to make certain criteria. And what's really interesting, I think, about the sugya and the statement of Rav, certainly, is that if someone has a disability in one area, doesn't necessarily mean they don't have daat, and maybe we can compensate by having them do things in an alternate way, which is, I think, a modern concept, which actually appears here. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. Chireh she'echol ledaber mitoch haktav, kotvim v'notnin get li'ishto. Okay, so first of all, Rashi says, Chireh she'aya pikeach kishekinsa. Okay, he was originally, now that we're going to also possibly distinguish between people who originally had daat, but now maybe you're in a state where, you know, something happened. And then the question is, again, how much do we assume they still have daat? They don't. The fact that they originally could speak and could hear. So the assumption here, I just want to make sure I'm actually, I think it's a chayresh, that right. He can't hear and he can't speak, okay, which is usually in a more chamor state. But it doesn't mean she'echol ledaber here. It means a chayresh, who can't hear and can't speak, the way the mafreshim understand it, but he can ledaber mitoch haktav. What can he do? He can write. Like nowadays we know this, deaf people can communicate perfectly. They can send emails, they can write, they're perfectly, they can express exactly what they want. So if he can be medaber mitoch haktav, meaning he writes a little note that says, please write a get to my wife. Okay?
But can he get married?
So that's why Rashi said he was pikeach when he got married. And his kiddushin is kiddushin midoraita. Now, we've talked about a chereish can get married, but his marriage is only a midorabana marriage, okay? And we're going to get into the issues about this today. So now, 1 second. Right, so if you look in Rashi, it explains a little further. So chereish shaya pikeach kishekinsa, second line in Rashi. V'kiddushav kiddushin gemurim, okay? And it's a perfectly good kiddushin. If he goes crazy, or you know, he goes insane, or he becomes deaf, lo yotzi olamit, he can never divorce her because his marriage was a marriage midoraita. His divorce only has tokef midorabanan; it doesn't work. But okay, here comes Rav. Okay, so here lefisha ein koch begirushay chershu lafkiyah kedushay chokma. V'ka'ama Rav, di'im yachol ledaber mitoch haktav, di'odeh lechtov al haklach, kitvu v'ditnu get li'ishti, atem uploni uploni, umasar lehem, pikeach gamoro v'kotvim v'notin. In other words, if this person has writing capabilities, that shows, in other words, the original assumption of the mission is he doesn't have mental capabilities. The fact that he writes, do you remember we had that story about the two deaf people that were sitting listening to the shiur all the time? And right, everybody thought that they didn't know anything, and then all of a sudden they became cured and they could speak and they spoke, you know, tons of brilliant things. So that's what Rav is saying. If he can write, then we take his word at face value and we write a get for his wife. Amar Rav Yosef. So now we're going to have a whole dune about this statement, okay? So first comes Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yosef. He's going to say, this doesn't make any sense that Rav would say such a statement. Why? This is a typical question in the Gemara. My kamashmalan tanina, blah, blah, blah. What does that mean, my kamashmalan tanina? It means, why are you telling us this if you're an Amora? It already says this in a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. Where does it say this in our Mishnah? We didn't read this, right? What did it say in our Mishnah, though? Now they're going to infer from our Mishnah. Nishtateg va'amrulo, nichtov get lishtecha, pirkin birosho, budkina tosh l'shapamim, im amar alav lav, balhen hen, hare elu yichtebu v'yitznu. What do we do? If he can't speak, which is similar, right? Not exactly the same, but for now we'll assume it's the same. He can't speak, so we ask him. And if he can respond with a yes or a no, and right, we check his responses, then, and if we assume his responses are legitimate, then he can write a get. So therefore, what do we see here? That we can write a get for someone who can't speak or can't hear, right? Seems to be the same. So now, what do we say? So the whole question is, if according to Rav right now, someone who can't hear and can't speak, if he can write, then we accept his writing, and we say, based on the fact that he can write, we allow him to give the get. But it says in our Mishnah the same thing, that if someone can't speak and he signals, then we accept his signal and we write a get. So now they say, Amar le Rabbi Zeira, you're comparing apples and oranges. Ilem ka amarta, shani ilem. You're comparing someone who can't hear and can't speak to a mute who only has the issue that he can't speak. Obviously, we're going to now say a mute, just because of someone who's mute but he can't hear, he's in a different category. And that's why Rav needed to be machadesh, that even if he additionally can't hear, we accept his writing. So that's what he's saying. Ilem kamarta shani ilem. How do we know the ilem is different? Because Ditanya, it says in the Braita, midaber ve'eno shomea zeu cheresh. If you can speak but you can't hear, that's called cheresh. Now that's distinguished from the cheresh that we were talking about in our case, which is a cheresh that can't hear and can't speak. That's why whenever you see the bitoy cheresh, you always have to question, because cheresh could mean both. Okay, but ilem, for sure, this is the continuation of the Braita, and this is why we brought it. But shomea ve'eno medaber zehu ilem, v'zeh harehen kepikchin l'chol divrehen. And now they say, both someone who either can't speak or can't hear and only has one disability, that person is considered a pikach, meaning he has dat, okay? He has knowledge and what?
So do you infer from that if you don't have both, then you are definitely not a pikach?
So now the assumption from this would be that if you don't have either, you're probably not a pikach, but that's what Rav's chiddush is. That's why I think Rav is very forward-thinking. He said, while most people assume if you can't hear and you can't speak, you don't have dat, I think that if you can't hear and can't speak, but you can write, then that already shows that you have dat. That's an indicator. As what he's saying is, you can find alternative methods of communication. If you can, then it's indicative that, remember also, in those days, not everybody wrote.
Yeah.
So the ability to write was a significant capability. So that's what he says. So now, this is just the Braita.
Just real quickly. And probably for people who couldn't speak or hear, it would probably emphasize on teaching them to write because it was the only form that they had of communication to allow.
So that's a good question. In other words, nowadays, for sure, that was what we would do. You know, we try to teach them alternate methods. That's what everybody does.
If somebody doesn't have capabilities, there's a limit to how much time you're going to spend teaching a fairly rare skill.
That's true.
But that's why it's interesting here that's why I think the Gemara is very forward thinking, because in those days, someone who couldn't hear, couldn't speak was basically, you know, we're going to see later, we're going to reference the sugya we learned earlier in Yavamot about this concern that also if a woman's like in that situation, people are going to take advantage of her, and there's this whole issue. So you came for a very interesting daf. So now we're just continuing. We're on this tangent about the ilem and the chayresh, okay? The one who can't hear but can speak, or can't speak but can hear. Umimayda medaber ve'eno shomea zeu chayresh. How do you know that that's the terminology used for each one? And now we're just going to quote psukim, which show it. Dichtiv, va'ani kecheresh lo eshma. Okay, meaning I'm a cheresh, I can't hear. Uki ilem lo yiftach piv. Okay, there's a pasuk that shows both that the cheresh can't speak, can't hear, and the ilem can't speak. Okay, v'i bayit ema. Or there's another way you know that ilem is just someone who can't speak. Kedam re'in she ishtekal milule. This is a noto, what's called notricon, where you darshan the letters. Ilem is almost like a rashi tevot for Ishtakil Milule. His words were taken away from him. Okay? Aleph from the beginning of the word, the lamed from the end of the word, Ishtakil, it was taken away. Milule is his words. Okay, that was a side issue about the definitions. Now we're back to our statement of Rav. Okay, now we're going to ask a question. Amar Rabbi Zera, Ikashili Hakashili. In other words, first they asked a question from our Mishnah. It wasn't obvious already from our Mishnah. They said, no. The case on the Mishnah was a different case. But now comes Rabbi Zera and he said, but if you were going to ask a question, this is a better question. Detanya, Imlo Yagid, Pradli Ilem She'eno Yachol Hagid. What's Imlo Yagid? If you have testimony, as the Pasuk that talks about, if you have testimony to give in court and you don't bring it to court, you have information and you just don't say anything about it. So what do we say about that? You get punished. There's a whole thing, v'nasavo, no? But who's excluded from this halacha who doesn't have to testify even if he knows something? Pratli ilaim, she'eno yachol lahagid, because the Pasuk says lahagid. Lahagid means to speak. Therefore, anyone who can't speak is excluded from this, he won't be punished if he doesn't do it. Amai, according to Rav, why would you say that? Hayachol lahagid mitoch haktav. He could write it, right? So why are we excusing him? Amar le'abaye, so he's asking a question from the edut world on this issue of, can he write a get to his wife, right? Can he say, I want you to write a get to my wife? And they take it at face value. So now there's a difference, what Abaye says. Eduka Amarta, again, you're comparing apples and oranges. Shane Edut, Derachmana Amar, Mipiem, below Mipik Tavam. Okay, Edut is different. Why? Because the Torah says it has to be Mipiem, from their mouths. And therefore, you can only accept testimony from their mouths and not from the written word. Now, I didn't have a chance. I Googled it for a minute, and I saw on Wikipedia. Wikipedia actually defines testimony as testimony either given in speech or in writing. But in general, we all know in a court of law, in general, they bring the witness forward. They ask the witness questions. It's not the same. It actually goes back to the whole thing about, should the Torah be written or spoken? And what are the advantages of the spoken word? Why should it be ba'al peh? Because you can clarify things much better. And testimony in general is given verbally. So whether or not, I wanted to look around, but anyone who wants to research it around courts around the world, are there different laws regarding this? Do they accept written testimony or not? Obviously, they said, it had to be sworn in testimony, even if it was written. The person took some sort of accountability for what they're writing.
I think it is, if someone is bedridden or isn't able to.
There are certain
right, if there's certain exceptions.
Someone has to be there and you can notarize it. Right. Make sure it was actually the person who said it himself. So I think it is.
Right, but again, if he said it himself, let's say he didn't say it and he just wrote it. It'd be a good question, right? I assume
such question.
Right. I assume it's acceptable, but again, it's only acceptable in exceptional cases, right?
Yeah.
Here they're saying it's even not acceptable in exceptional cases. Okay, that's what they're saying here. But now we're gonna see not necessarily. Okay, so now Meitive, but how can you say this? That we don't accept it for Edut. Kishem shebodkin oto legitin, kach bodkin oto lemasaot, ulematanot, uleiduyot, uleyirushot. Katanimiat eduyot. Okay, so now what's the question here? Here this is talking about the person who can only shake his head, right? And they say, just like we allow it for get, like our Mishnah said, they also, this is another braita, they also check him for masao matan, if he's going to, do business interactions, for testimony, for Yerusha purposes, right, for inheritance. You can basically accept this person who can't speak. If he shakes his head, yes or no, and it's clear that his yes or no's are not just random, then we can accept him. So what do you see? You can accept it for testimony purposes. So if you can accept someone shaking their head yes or no, then you obviously can accept it if they write it.
Why is that obvious?
Because both of them are not, what did we just say? Mi PM, it has to be from their mouths. It has to be verbal. And these are nonverbal methods. Okay? So Amar of Yosef Bar Menume, Amar of Sheshet. So now what they're going to do is they're going to say, oh no, it's not regular Eduyot. We don't accept him. When it says in this Braita, Eduyot, they don't mean for testimony in court if we're bringing him as a witness. Okay? What do we mean? In which cases, we've already learned that there's hierarchy when it comes to Eduyot. Okay, we're going to see it right now. Amar of Sheshet. Okay, Rav Yosef Bar Menume says in the name of Sheshet, Eduyot Isha Da'akilu Barabanan. What are we talking about here? It's the etude of a woman. What's the case of a woman? Remember, our woman whose husband goes abroad, and we don't know is he dead or not. We accept one aid. We accept women's testimony. Likewise, we'll accept someone who shakes his head yes or no, or maybe someone who can write. Okay, in those cases, it's not the high level etude. High level etude, we don't accept it for. Okay, now they're going to say, oh, no, that still doesn't work so well. Why? V'hakatani Yerushot. It says also in the same brayta, Yerushot. Yerushot seems to be testimony. He's testifying about someone's Yerusha and who it belongs to, right? That he's a witness. Amar Rabbi Abau, Yerushat b'no habachor katani. It's not talking about him testifying for someone else. Is this, you know, did he inherit this property? It's talking about him saying about himself that this son is the Bechor and he should get Pishnayim. Or some people say, actually, that's not what he's testifying about, maybe because you wouldn't really need him. Everybody knows generally who the Ben HaBachor is. It's actually remind me, specifically, they know the Ben HaBachor. Someone, my daughter just said to my husband yesterday, I noticed you have a Wikipedia site in your name. And she said, but only Moshe's name was mentioned there of all our kids, only the oldest. I said, probably whoever wrote it only knew our oldest kid's name. You know, that the oldest child is the one who's the most known, because everybody knows the first kid. After that, you know, nobody remembers anything. But so the other...
Find that comforting.
No, I don't think so. The other interpretation is that it was a matter of which... that you didn't want to give Pishnayim to your Bechor. You wanted to say, I want to even it out. I want everyone to get equal, and you're going against Torah, and that's something we can allow him. It's not a big deal thing. We can allow him to just indicate that, even if that's not real testimony. Okay, that's just saying, I want it a little different, and that we accept. So, either which way, you know, there's weaknesses in both of those shitot. Miha lamasa, But now there's another problem. Katani miyat lamasa otu lamatanot, right? What does that sound? Business transactions. He could testify about someone's business transaction. My love la alma. No, we're not talking about that he's doing business transactions. He's testifying about other people's business transactions. We're saying lo lidide. For himself, he's indicating, I want to buy something. Then we allow it, okay? But not that he's testifying about someone else in a masa umatan. Okay, now we're going to get to another question on, okay, this was a question on Rav, and then we answered it up. So we had two questions on Rav, we answered them all up. Now we're on a third question, Meitive, another question from a Braita. Cheresh, lo hachubo acharei remizota, v'acharei kfitzota, v'achar ktav yado, ela b'mitaltalin, avalo legitin. Ah, what do you see? Very clearly, we do not follow the ktav, the writing of a cheresh, when it comes to gitin. Yes, when it comes to selling movable property, but not when it comes to gittin. So that's an explicit, right, disagreement with Rav. So what's the answer? Tanaihi, we know that when you have a source, a Tanaitic source that disagrees with an Emora, first of all, it's interesting that they don't give this answer. Often Rav, because he was the first Emora, they say Rav Tanahu Upalik. It means that Rav has rights other than any other right. He has a status, he can argue with Tanin. But they don't do that because they have a better answer, which is the same answer you would give to any other Emora who argues, that if he has another Tana who supports his opinion, then it's okay. He can say, I disagree with that, but I have someone else who supports my opinion.
So what happens if a woman wants to get from her husband who becomes a deaf mute?
So we're going to talk about these cases soon, okay? It's a bit of an issue. okay, Meitive. So, what do we say? Right? So, what do we say? No problem. Tanaihi, it's a machloka tanaim. By the way, if you want the light on, the last switch is the light right behind it. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Tanaihi, Ditanya, Amaram and Shimon ben Gamliel, Bamed Varim Amurim. When do we say that you can't write Becheresh Meikaro about someone who is deaf from the beginning? Aval Pikech Venitcheresh, Hu Kote Vehen Chotmin. Okay, but comes Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and he says, if he was pikach to begin with, and then he became deaf, then we allow him to write it, and they can sign. Okay, now, so what do you see? Rav holds like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and the assumption is, and we're going to talk about this assumption further down, Rabbi Yochanan is even going to make this assumption, that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is disagreeing with the other, with Tanakama, right? The people disagree with him. Okay, but we're going to get to that later. So now we're going to ask, v'cheresh me'ikaro lo, but someone who is deaf from the beginning, why can't he divorce his wife? K'shem shekunsa b'rimiza, kach motziya b'rimiza. We know that just like right? If he can, he can't marry her mida oraita, basically, but he can marry her on a derabanan level by signaling that he wants, by indicating that he wants to marry her. Therefore, his marriage is a good marriage, and just like his marriage was a, let's say, a weaker kind of marriage, a derabanan marriage, because he did it berimiza, he should be able to get out of it berimiza. Ibi ishto hachinami. So they say, so therefore, if you're talking about that he can't divorce his wife, okay, right, that was what they said, the brayta, the gist was, you can't divorce if you were pikech me'ikar, right, from the beginning, I'm sorry, if you were a cheresh from the beginning, you can't divorce your wife by writing. But if you were, but now they're saying you should be allowed to if you were cheresh from the beginning, because your derabanan marriage, it can be gotten rid of in a derabanan way. So therefore they say it can't be talking about be'ishto, that brayta. Hachanami, hacha b'mayas kinan, be'yivimto. It must be talking about, Iber Bisho Hachanami, you would be right if it was talking about his wife. What's this case where you can't divorce her that they're talking about? Be Yivimto, if he marries his Yivama. Why? Because what happens? The brother was a Pikach, the one who was originally married. He's married to a woman, de oraita marriage. The brother dies without kids, mi de oraita, there's, remember the word Zika? Zika means she is now inherently connected to this, to the brother, the deaf brother, on a de'oraita level. So when he sleeps with her, they fulfill Yibum. Remember, Yibum doesn't need even a ceremony. It just needs sexual relations. So they have sexual relations. They are now married. Mi de'oraita. Even though he's a cheresh and he can't have de'oraita marriage. This marriage is de'oraita. So that's the case where he can't divorce her now. That kind of a woman can't get divorced from her husband. Okay, but if you were a cheresh and he got married midrabanan, he'd be able to get divorced midrabanan. Okay, in other words, that, and that divorce would be a good divorce because the marriage was only midrabanan. So now, So now they say, wait, miman, yivimto from whom? Ilema dinaflala mi achiv cheresh, kashem shaknisa toberu miza, kach yitzia toberu miza. If it was that his brother was also deaf, well then he should be allowed to get divorced. So Ella denaflala me'achiv pikach, and that's what we just said, right? So the first option of understanding this source, okay, is that, right, it was talking about Yibum, and it's talking about that Achiv, his brother who died, was a pikach. Okay, that's what we explained. It makes the most sense, because if he was cheresh, then he'd be allowed to get divorced. So the whole thing is, right, we're trying to explain why a cheresh me'ikaro, right, even according to Rav Shum ben Gamliel, can't divorce his wife, right? So we're talking about if he was married, right, then he'd be allowed to divorce his wife because it was only derabanan. So it must be a tzibum, and it must be a tzibum from achiv pikach, okay? Now we're going to have a long attempt to try to explain that it can also be achiv cheresh. Okay, I'm letting you know already from the beginning, I'm giving it away, but we're going to reject this ultimately. But it's going to take a little while, that's what I'm telling you now so that you remember where we're up to. We're trying to prove that it can be a cheresh mikaro, can't divorce a wife from Yibum, from his brother who's deaf. Okay, but that can't be what it's talking about. V'ibay teima la'olam, we could also suggest to say that dinafla la me'achiv cheresh, u'gzera achiv cheresh atu achiv pikeach. Maybe we don't allow a deaf person to do Yibum on his deaf brother's wife because we think that if we allow this deaf person to do Yibum on the deaf to divorce a wife from Yibum, okay, we won't allow him to divorce from Yibum, okay, from Atnadis. He did Yibum already, but now he wants to divorce the wife. If his brother was deaf, the first brother, even though he should be allowed to, because remember, it's only midrabanan that he's connected to this woman, because only the first marriage was only a midrabanan marriage. Because we're worried that if we allow him to divorce from Yibum, this deaf person, even though the brother was cheresh, who's going to remember that the brother was cheresh? Therefore, we're worried that people will think they saw this deaf guy do Yibum, do divorce from Yibum. That people will think that a deaf guy can do divorce from Yibum for if his brother was pikach. So we want to make a gzeirah so that people don't confuse the halacha. That's what we're suggesting. Okay? So that's gzeirat achiv cheresh atu achiv pikach. So then they say, ihachi ishtonami. But then also you should say that he shouldn't be able to divorce his regular wife, because maybe we'll think if he can divorce his regular wife, then he can also divorce his Yavama. In other words, let's start making more. If you're going to make Gzeirot, well, there's lots of directions we can make Gzeirot. Then they say, no, that's not a good Gzeirot. Why? Because Yivim Tov Yivim Tov Michlafa, Ish Tov Yivim Tov Lo Michlafa. People will confuse divorce from marriage from divorce from marriage, but they won't confuse divorce from marriage from divorce from Yibum. Or they'll confuse divorce from Yibum from the Achiv Pikach, from the Achiv Cheresh. They'll confuse that with the Achiv Pikach because it's Yibum Yibum. Right? Yibum, Yibum, we could confuse, but marriage, Yibum, we're not going to confuse. So, another question on it. Umi, Gazrina, Cheresh, Atu, Pikeach? Do we really go there? In other words, now they're going to bring another case where we see that we don't make a Gzera. Now, this is in a marriage case. From Cheresh to Pikeach. How do we know? Here's a Mishnah from Yevamot. Okay, those who don't Yevamot will remember, maybe. It's one of those complicated cases. Shnei Achiv Chershim. What?
Did you bring the dolls?
No, I didn't bring the dolls. Shnei achim chershin nisuin shtei achayot pikchot. Two deaf brothers are married to two regular sisters. O shtei achayot chersho, two deaf sisters, or they're married, two deaf brothers, two deaf sisters. O shtei achayot achad pikach alachad chereshet. Okay, basically it doesn't matter what the status of the wife is, okay? Bechein, also in the case where there were shtei achayot chershot, there were nisuot to shnei achim pikchin. All the shnei achim chershin, all the shnei achim, achad pikach v'achad cheresh. Okay, either if the two sisters are deaf or the two brothers are deaf, and it doesn't matter what, the other ones are married. Hare elu p'turot min ha-chalitza u'min ha-yibum. Okay, they're all pater from chalitza and yibum. Okay, why? Because everything's midirabanan, basically, right? All the marriages here are dirabanan, because one side is cheresh. Okay, and therefore, and there's an Easter erva now, midrabanan, because it's eshet ach from a derabanan marriage. So therefore, there's Easter erva, and there's chiyuv yibum only on a derabanan level. So it's derabanan knocks out a derabanan. The Easter arayo knocks out the yibum on a derabanan level. Right? It's always an issue when you have a marriage that's deoraita with a arayo that's derabanan, then you can't, right? You can't, you, if there's any arayo, then there's no yibum. But in that case, you know, if it was derabanan arayot, you would still have to do yibum, but then it would be usher to marry because it's still arayot mi derabanan, you'd have to do chalitza. In this case, you don't even need to do chalitza because it's derabanan against derabanan, the arayot wins out over the yibum chiyuv. Okay, so now, v'im hayu nochriot, but if the two sisters, if the two wives weren't sisters, nochriot doesn't mean non-Jews here, right? It means they're not, those who remember Yevamot, it means they're not actually sisters, they're not related. Then yikansu, then he can marry them. V'im ratzu lahotzian yotziu, and if they want a divorce, they can divorce them. What do you see? You can divorce from Yibum. Wait, one second. Right. No, there is Yibum here, right? There is Yibum, and you can divorce from Yibum, right? And therefore, you see that a Cheresh can divorce, and we don't, right? I said it was a marriage case, it's not. And he can divorce his Yivama, and we're not worried, right? This isn't like the first question. The first question was, do we make this type of gzera? This is a question of, this actual gzera we don't have. In other words, we have a case where we allow get from Yibum, and we're not worried. What about Achiv Pikeach? So, therefore, they reject this whole line of thinking. Now we're at the end of it. Ela mechuvarta kedishanina meikara, that it must be the Braita, when it said, Cheresh meikaro can't divorce, it was Yibum, right? It wasn't marriage, we said, because marriage he could. It's because it was marriage midrabanan, right? Get midrabanan from marriage midrabanan, but it was Yibum from Sachib Pikeach. Okay, conclusion. So now we're going to go back to Rav Shimon Gamliel himself and what he said, and we're going to learn now that Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chalukin alav chaverav al Rashbag. Okay, in case it wasn't clear, because there it was just Rashbag came in and said, when are we talking about? In a, right, you can't write the get if it was a Cheresh Mikaro, but you could write it if it was Pikeach Minit Cheresh. It wasn't 100% clear that Tanakama disagreed. It was just he was coming to explain. So it comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, no. Tanakama didn't agree with him. Abaye says, now I'm going to prove this. Also, I'm going to support what Rabbi Yochanan says. Af ana nami tanina. We also learned it in a, I'm not sure if it's a Mishnah or a Breita. Nishtatet lo yotzi, nitcharesh hu onishtateh, lo yotzi olamit. What does this mean? If she, let's say they get married, and then she becomes not sane, he can't divorce her at that point. Okay, because now she can't, lo yotzi, he can divorce her. So, right, shalom inandata, because we don't need her will, so therefore...
It's like somebody who's deranged is like she's being divorced against her will.
Right, she can be, so why does it say lo yotzi? Doesn't make sense to say lo yotzi, right? Asur lo hotzia, ba'af al pi she, I'm just looking at Rashi. Asur lo hotzia, ba'af al pi she pi... Oh, right. We're going to see this. This is why. What's the issue here? Okay.
How does that help the woman, though? How does that help her?
How does it help her? Because if he divorces her, no, that's the whole thing. In technically speaking, he can divorce her because we don't need her dad. Well, what's the issue? We're going to see this inside in a minute. But the concern is, if he divorces her, no one's going to want to marry her. She's going to be left on the street, and people are going to treat her as healthcare.
I'm talking about the other way. If he becomes
No. So that's not to protect her. That's because there's technical issues, right? You're right. You're right. It's an issue. It is an issue. It's definitely difficult, this other. So you're right. It's difficult in both directions. The difference for the man was that he could at least marry somebody else.
Why? Who would want to marry...
No. In the case that Renee is talking about, in the case where she becomes deranged, he can't leave her, because if he leaves her, she's going to be on the streets and people are going to mistreat her. He at least can, in theory, marry other women. It's not like this is his only wife. She, on the other hand, in the other case, the woman is really not protected. The woman is stuck. That if nitcheresh hu, if he becomes deaf or he becomes deranged or however you write, goes crazy, lo yotzi olamit. So now we're going to have the first assumption the Gemara is going to assume about lo yotzi olamit is my olamit. This is going to go back to, right, what's our question? Can a cheresh, right, a pikech v'nitcheresh, according to Rashbag, he can write the get, and it's okay, he can divorce her. And what are we trying to say? The Tanakhama disagrees and thinks that if he was a pikech v'nitcheresh, he can't write a get, and comes by and says, look, you can see it from this source. Because what does this source say? He was a pikech, he became cheresh, and lo yotzi olami, my olamit, doesn't olamit seem to be ever, in any way, right? So... Lav apagav diachol edaber mitoch haktav, right? Doesn't this seem to imply, even if he could write a get, it wouldn't work? So Amar Rapapa, no. Rapapa says no, okay? What you see here, at least to help you, Deb, with what you're concerned with, in the end, the Gemara concludes, like Rashbag, really, that they don't necessarily disagree with that. If he can write, then he can write a get. If he's capable of writing, the issue is, technically speaking, the person has no da'at. There's no way to give a get without the husband's da'at. So it's the same as any aguna case, where if a husband is unwilling, or the husband is incapable, so there's really no way to write a get. So in this case, what they're saying is, well, we're going to find some way. If he can write, then it's okay. We're not talking about that. Okay? So that's what they think. Doesn't it mean, no. If he can write, it's okay. What does it mean, lo yotzi olami? Now we're going to have two different interpretations. Amar Papa, ilav de ashmuina Rabbi Yochanan, hava amina rashbag leferushe tama de tanakama. If Rabbi Yochanan hadn't come, we would have assumed that Rashbag was just explaining tanakama. Because when he says, b'med varim amurim, right, in which case, it sounds like he could be just explaining. Hudaata, that's what he's coming for. Umay olamit, what would we have thought? Remember, this is all to explain, why did Rabbi Yochanan need to tell us this if already the Mishnah said it, or the Braita said it? So now they're saying, no, what's this olamit? That's not what that meant. It meant something else. Af agav dechazina le decharif. You might have thought that it meant, lo yotzi olamit means, even if you see he has his wits about him, it's still not allowed. And then, in other words, in the end, it actually doesn't side on your side, Deb, because even though they're suggesting different interpretations, what they're saying is in the end, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that everyone disagreed with him and didn't allow this person to write. So it is difficult, the conclusion. Or inami, here's another way of reading what lo yotzi olamit means. The lo yotzi olamit is coming to teach you lechad Rabbi Yitzchak. And in which case, lo yotzi olamit is talking about the reisha and not the seifa, about the woman. If she goes crazy, lo yotzi olamit. Amar Rav Yitzchak dvar Torah, shotam et gareshet, midi dehave apikachat ba'al korcha. She can get divorced. You can divorce her, but the rabbi said lo yotzi olamit. She can't be because they'll treat her minhag hefker, you know, and she'll be stuck on the streets. Okay, new Mishnah. Amru lo nichtov. So these are, you know, these are difficult issues. They're difficult to, some of them are easier to accept. You know, the fact that they're sensitive. We see this all the time, that in certain ways they were forward thinking about it. And we saw that in the beginning of the sugya. We see that with the concern for the woman being on the street and the concern for the woman. You know, I don't know if that's forward thinking because, you know, nowadays to be stuck in a marriage isn't always a positive thing, right? It's not always a good thing. In those days, being stuck in a marriage was a good thing for a woman who couldn't take care of herself. For sure it was a good thing. Nowadays, you know, you can question it.
But for its time,
right. And the issue of being, I don't know if it was, that issue was not necessarily forward thinking as much as the issue of the chayresh that maybe he has capabilities and let's give him alternate methods. But it's showing sensitivity to women and trying to protect them.
How can someone who's deranged take care of his wife?
That's what I said. That case is kind of like the Aguna cases, that sometimes halacha gets stuck. Because we have this concept that...
So
the goal is to find ways around it and to figure out how to resolve these issues, you know, using halacha but coming up with solutions. And this is what people are working on all the time now, trying to figure out how to deal with people who are stuck in these situations. I didn't look. I mean, you know, again, we don't have time for all this, but it would... I know Rabbeinu Blau writes about these things, about people with disabilities and how we can incorporate them within halacha. There was an article in Beit Hillel all about it. I read it a while ago. I don't remember all the details. But there's all sorts of people writing about these things and how to basically find ways to resolve these things.
I'm surprised that in the Yifun case they didn't say we should do chalitza.
No, so the issue isn't the Yibum. The Yibum's fine. It's the divorce from the Yibum.
No, right. But sometimes when they can anticipate a problem,
I remember now. Cheresh can't do chalitza because remember he has to say. There's a statement he has to say, and the cheresh actually can't do chalitza. So that's why. These issues, it's complicated, and the question is how to work around them. You know, we're doing the Gemara, so we're not getting into the halacha lemaaseh with the, you know. But it'd be good to look it up. Okay. Next case. Amru lo, nichtov get lishtecha. Should we write a get to your wife? Va'amar lahen, ktovu. And he says yes. Amru la sofer. Okay. First of all, this is obviously, okay, Rashi points out, we're talking about either a bari or a shchiv meira who has his wits about him, okay? Or someone on his deathbed. But it's, you know, it could be a bari also. So they say, should we write a get to your wife? Rashi says, by the way, what's the reason? So that she won't have to do yibum. Okay? And then, imrula sofer v'katav. So then, what do they do? After he says, write it. So remember, he doesn't say tnu here, okay? So now, they say to a sofer to write the get. Now, they said, should we write a get to your wife? And he says, yes. And then they say to a sofer to write the get. And they set up edim to sign. Even though they wrote it, they signed it, they gave it. They gave it to him and then they gave it to her. Hare haget batel. The get is no good. Why? Ad sheomar lesofer ktov v'leidim chatamu. He has to instruct the witnesses directly. We saw this before and we're going to go back again to this machloka, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi. Can words be passed on for shlichut? Okay, for those who weren't here, I'll remind you of the concept. If you hand an item to someone and say, please deliver this to so-and-so, and he gives the item to someone else to deliver, that's okay, because he's just taking the item. There's an object there. We always look at some ma'aseh as stronger than a dibur. If you say, please go do something, write a get, and that shaliach passes on the instructions, please write a get. Actually, I was wondering, right now, maybe it has to do with broken telephone. If it's words, right, we don't know whether your words are going to get there correctly anymore. Especially, you can imagine, kitvu or kitvu v'tnu. There's a big difference, right? Writing just means write it, doesn't mean give it to her. Maybe they'll mess it up and say kitvu v'tnu. So according to Rabbi Meir, you can instruct people, but you remember in which case? Only if you did it in front of three, because three is like a beit din, and therefore a beit din can have the power to appoint. Rabbi Yossi said, "Mile lo mimsurin l'shaliach." You can't pass on words, and therefore they can't instruct anyone. So it sounds like this Gemara, this Mishnah, is according to Rabbi Yossi, right? But there's going to be a whole discussion, and certainly the end, because it says, right, "Ad shemar l'sofer k'tov v'leidim k'tomu." You have to actually say it yourself. So the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion, which is going to continue through till tomorrow, about who is this Mishnah like. So first they're going to say is, the reason why it doesn't work, the first thing they're going to assume is, what was the first case? He just said, the first line, he just said, or they asked, should we write a get? They didn't say, should we write and give the get? So the first assumption they're going to make is, why doesn't this work? Because he didn't say tnu. But if he had said, if the first people had asked him, should we write and give the get, then it would be okay. So tama delo amar tnu. The reason it doesn't work is because they didn't say tnu. Ha amar tnu. If he said tnu, then no tnim, then it would work. Mane, who would this be according to then? Rabbi Meir here. He da amar mile mimsurin l'shaliach. Right? Then it would go like Rabbi Meir, who would say, and that is what we can infer from the Mishnah because it doesn't say tnu, is that tnu would work. If that's the case, it seems like you can pass on words to the shaliach. But what's the problem with that? The seifa. Ema seifa, but the end of this says, ad shiomar l'sofer k'tov l'edim chatomu. Atan Rabbi Yossi, damar milin l'mimstrim in the shaliach. Right? It sounds like from the end, it's Rabbi Yossi because it says, it only works if you say, you give it direct orders to the people and not to a middleman. So what do they answer? Reisha Rabbi Meir, Sefer Rabbi Yossi. So if that's the case, right, you can say, I guess you'd say that the beginning is Rabbi Meir, the end is Rabbi Yossi. We've seen that before in Mishnayot. Here it's particularly difficult because it seems like one flow. So it doesn't really work. So, first they ask. They ask, Reisha Rabbi Meir, Sefer Rabbi Yossi. Could you possibly say that the beginning is Rabbi Meir, the end is Rabbi Yossi? So they say, you could actually say that. Reisha Rabbi Meir, Sefer Rabbi Yossi. That's their first answer, okay, which is a difficult answer. It's always difficult to say that, particularly in this case where it's really one flow. It's hard to say that it switches opinions in the middle. So now we're going to have different options. Abai Amar Kula Rabbi Meir here. Okay, we're going to have either it's Kula Rabbi Meir or later we're going to have it's Kula Rabbi Yossi. The whole mission is Rabbi Meir. V'hacha b'mayas kinan delo amar tnu. In other words, then the reason it doesn't work is because he didn't say tnu. Forget that the last line says what it says. So then the Gemara said, well, if ihachi, right, because what does it say in the last line? This is the problematic part for Rabbi Meir. It says, ad shi omar l'sofer k'tov l'edim chatomu. It doesn't say, ad shi omar tnu, so that's what the Gemara is going to say. Ihachi ad shi omar tnu mibayle. It should have said, until he says tnu. If he says tnu, it'll work. So therefore, that's not good. Ela hacha b'mayaskinan d'lo amar l'beit slata. So then they say, it must be, remember, Rabbi Meir only allows it if there were three. So we're going to say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, but it's a case where he said it in front of two people. Okay, and that's why it doesn't work. So again, ihachi, then what should it say at the end of the Mishnah? Ad shiomar l'shlosha mibayle. It should have said until he says to three people, and it shouldn't have said until he says direct, right, gives direct orders. Now, you could say, right, it could still be until he gives direct orders, because if he were to give direct orders, even if there weren't three, well, obviously you wouldn't need three, right, it would work. But they're saying, if that's our issue, then it should have said that. Ela kula Rabbi Yossi hi. Therefore, it's kula Rabbi Yossi. Well, how could it be Rabbi Yossi? Because didn't we say if he had said tnu, it would work? B'hacha b'maya skina. Now we're going to go back, and I'm going to end here. Delo amar imru. Remember the whole thing, right? It doesn't work because even according to Rabbi Yossi, what did we say? We said if he said imru la sofer to write, then you'd be allowed to pass it on to the sofer. Okay? But if you recall, and we're going to start with this tomorrow because I don't want to stop mid-thought, is that does Rabbi Yossi really modeh ba'omer imru? We brought up that other Mishnah. We explained according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. We explained that was that complicated thing about, okay, whether Rabbi Yossi really holds an imru. In other words, what they're going to all say is, they're going to say, it's Rabbi Yossi, and it would have worked with tnu because he had said imru, meaning he already told them you could say it was so fair to write it, and that's why it was okay. But then they have a whole debate whether really Rabbi Yossi is mode in imru, that it would be okay. Okay? Maybe he doesn't actually think that. Okay? And isn't he worried about what might come out of it and what we might misconclude from it? Okay? So we'll get to that tomorrow.